Don't just ride the index, seek to outperform it with Fidelity Active ETFs. Learn more at fidelity.com/active ETFs. Before investing in any exchange-traded fund, you should consider its investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Contact Fidelity for a prospectus, an offering circular, or if available, a summary prospectus containing this information. Read it carefully. While active ETFs offer the potential to outperform an index, these products may more significantly trail an index as compared with passive ETFs. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
Explore the world's hidden wonders on the Atlas Obscura podcast, a village in India where everyone's name is a song, a boiling river in the Amazon, a spacecraft cemetery in the middle of the ocean. Every day, the Atlas Obscura podcast will blow your mind in 15 minutes. You can find it on the SiriusXM app, Pandora, or wherever you get your podcasts. And don't forget to follow the show so you never miss an episode.
I'm Claire Fallon.
And I'm Emma Gray.
And this is Love to See It, an obsessively detailed recap podcast about The Bachelor and other pop culture that makes us laugh, cry, and curse the patriarchy.
We can't live with these shows and we can't live without them, but we can break down every juicy moment and unpack all the weird messages these shows send us about love, sex, and dating.
Welcome to Love to See It, a podcast that is still about Bachelor in Paradise and finding summer love on the beach. Even though we're well into October, I'm wearing a cardigan, still thinking about those moments in Sayulita.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just trying to take myself back to summer, to beaches. And look, there are just still so many storylines and scandals from the past season that we are desperate to know more about. So we definitely wanted to chat with one of the women at the center of some of the juiciest moments of the season, model, icon, Chelsea Vonn.
Chelsea was on, of course, Matt's season of The Bachelor. When she arrived on the beach, she quickly, as you may all remember, got caught up in something of a love triangle, perhaps we might even say a love tripod, with Aaron Clancy and some of the other guys on the beach.
So today we're joined by Chelsea, who is fresh or somewhat fresh off the beaches of paradise. Chelsea, welcome back to the pod. We're so happy this worked out.
Thank you so much for having me, guys. I'm wearing long sleeves today, but it does still feel like summer was not that long ago.
Right? I know we're deep in that transitional weather, like New York thing, which we get for
two weeks.
Then like straight into winter.
Right.
Better to look back at summer than to think of winter right now.
Exactly. Let's keep it positive.
So we haven't talked to you, Chelsea, since Matt's season was coming to a close. So much has happened since then. How have you been?
I've been good. You know, I'm still in New York. I have been here for a little over 6 years now, but a lot of my friends from that season moved to New York since the show. So that's been fun. We've all just been hanging out, going out, you know, enjoying the events and just enjoying each other's company. And then, you know, ended up in Mexico somehow on the beach.
Stumbled into Sayulita. No borders had to be crossed. It was very serendipitous. But honestly, what made you decide to go on Paradise? Like, was that an easy decision for you? Or did you have any pause about going on?
Yeah, I think the last time I spoke to you guys, you had asked me, would you be down to go on Paradise? And I probably said no, because at the time, I was just really overwhelmed by everything that happened when my season was airing. There was just obviously a lot of controversy and drama with Matt and Rachel and with Chris Harrison and with all of us putting out a statement kind of against the franchise. So yeah, I really was not planning on going, to be honest. But I spoke to some producers and I thought about it. And I did realize that my presence, just being on the show, did affect and help a lot of people, like the representation matters. And I did believe, like based on what some of the producers had told me and some changes that they told me they had made, that Paradise would be better as far as diversity goes. So in the end, I decided to take the leap, go to Mexico. And also I was still single and looking for my person. So I wanted to go and see if he was on the beach.
Of course. I mean, looking back, like once you got there and after your experience, do you feel like the producers had the right thing in mind when they convinced you to go? Or did you feel like, oh, I kind of wish I hadn't gone?
A bit of a loaded question, just looking back. I don't want to say I wish I hadn't gone just because it was an experience in my life. And I don't, you know, I'm not a person that likes to regret anything or take back any experiences. Like, been wondering what I was missing out on. Now I know I didn't really miss out on anything, but I think I would have wondered. So I don't regret going.
Yeah, yeah. At least you know. And a lot of the women from your season were at the center of a lot of the action, and you know, some of the action was drama and maybe unpleasant for everyone involved, and some of it was these beautiful love stories. But I think we need to get your take on some of what happened in Paradise with your buddies.
It's definitely time. Or we'll sort of walk through big moment by big moment. First, we do need to get your take on the whole Brendan and Piper situation, because obviously their relationship and questions about it and how that was dealt with Natasha was really at the center of like the entire middle of the season. What was your feeling about that? Like, had you seen the two of them together pre-Paradise? Did you have an understanding of what their relationship was going into filming?
Yeah, I am friends with Piper, so I did know that they had seen each other because I had been at some of the places where they'd seen each other. Like they both mentioned that they'd hung out in group settings in New York, and like I was at those group settings, and so were Abigail and Noah, like a bunch of us, all of us that live here. So I had met Brendan one time at one party that we were all at, but I think at the end of the day, like, they shouldn't have come. Like, I don't think they should have gone to Paradise. And I don't think that, like, I wasn't there. So I showed up to the beach, like, after Piper got there, like, a few days after. Right. And I, like I said, am friends with Piper. So I had spoken to her about how I was going to Paradise. And when I had left and been in quarantine, like, as far as I knew, she wasn't coming. So when I got there and saw her, I was shocked. Like, I genuinely was like, what the hell? and people are like, oh, aren't you friends with Piper? I'm like, yeah. And I dead ass did not know she was coming. Like, I was just as shocked as everybody else, because I think she made that decision like way after the fact. But yeah, so I also came after, like when I got there, Brendan and Piper were pretty much like hanging out all the time. And I had no idea what had happened with Natasha. So I kind of just like got bits and pieces and hearsay. I wasn't there to see how Brendan and Natasha interacted. So then after I watched it on TV, like that was the first time I saw it. And I was like, it was the first time I saw it when everyone else saw it. And I was shocked by like the things I was seeing too. Like, I think what Brendan did was messed up. And I think a lot of the things he said were messed up. I have a little bit more empathy for Piper just because she didn't know what she was walking into. But she definitely did still participate in like the downfall of Natasha, pretty much. And not downfall, because we know now she's thriving. But yeah, it was just a terrible situation all around. And I think it could have all been avoided if they had just not come.
Yeah, the way that it ended up playing out, Natasha seems like she's she's doing okay, but there definitely right. was a point when it seemed a little bit like Brendan and Piper were maybe kicking her when she was down a little bit. And that was tough to watch.
For sure.
Yeah. And I'm sure for everyone on the beach, but especially since you weren't even there for the first part of this whole drama, it must have been wild to see it unfold. Yeah.
No, I was not there. I didn't know like the extent of everything that happened. So when I watched it, I was like, holy shit. It was bad.
Yeah.
And I've told Piper this, like a lot of people are like, oh my God, you're friends with Piper. And I'm like, yeah, I'm friends with Piper. We have a relationship from before this show, like before Paradise. And I'm not just going to drop my friends when they're in hot water. But I also just don't like, these are two grown adults that make their own decisions. Like I don't make decisions for my friends. I'm still going to be friends with people, even if sometimes their decisions are not something that I would do. And I'm also friends with Natasha. Like I've hung out with her multiple times and we're friends and before Paradise. So I'm friends with both people. So yeah, it was just an interesting thing to watch unfold, but.
No, that makes sense. It's super messy. And I think, honestly, like the mark of a strong friendship is being able to call out your friends when that needs to happen, not necessarily say I'm ending this friendship, but you know, I think you're allowed to criticize your friends and still value those relationships.
If that's really your friend, you should feel comfortable being like, hey, this was messed up. And like everything I'm saying right now, I've said to Piper. So it's not a secret.
We were going to ask, like, I assume you're still in touch with Piper now. Like, how has she been doing? As far as you know, like, what's the status of her relationship with Brendan?
Yeah.
Have you seen him?
No, I haven't seen him. But they are still together. And I mean, she hasn't been doing great. Like, obviously, it's a really hard thing to go through and to watch. And they've kind of just been handling it privately and like on their own, just trying to work through it. But it hasn't been the easiest time for her. And, you know, she didn't really watch. She watched maybe one of the episodes back, but she didn't watch, like she wasn't sitting there watching Paradise. Like she was just trying to deal with everything that was going on. And she was kind of getting it from all angles. She's just been trying to focus on herself. And, you know, she's still working full time and focusing on her mental health. And
Yeah, I can't imagine I would put myself through watching after the way things ended on the beach. But you still have to kind of go through it because everyone else is watching. And that must be a really tough situation.
Yeah.
But we should talk about your situation on the beach, because there's a lot to dig into. During your relatively brief stint on the beach, you were entangled in a lot of action. So let's walk through your Paradise journey a little bit. I'm curious to start with like going into Paradise. Were there any specific guys that you were interested in? And did you ever get a chance to connect with any of those guys who are like on your list?
I mean, to be honest, like I said, I've met a bunch of guys pretty much from Claire and Tayshia's season, because a lot of them came to New York and like we all met them, like I just said. But I hadn't met anybody from Katie's season. And that season was airing while we were in Paradise. So like, I hadn't even seen it. So I was most interested in like, okay, I would like to see some new guys. Like I want to see some guys from Katie's season. And then when I got there, the people that I had on my list were not the people that were there.
Who was on your list?
Oh my God. Okay, fine. I'll give you one. Andrew. I wanted to see Andrew S there. I didn't realize how far he had made it. Like, I obviously hadn't seen the season at all.
It was still airing.
Right.
Oh, that's so funny.
Yeah. So I was like, oh, Andrew's cute. And I was literally going off of like the cast list and the cast photos, which are terrible. So it was just like,
Chelsea, we like to refer to those as like the terrible LinkedIn photos.
Oh my God, they're so bad.
They're so bad.
Yeah. So I was going off cast photos and I really didn't have anything else to go off of. But when I got there, and it's funny because I said this to Aaron on our one-on-one, I had seen Aaron's picture and like didn't think anything of it. Like I was just like, okay, keep scrolling. And then when I got there in person, I was like, oh my God, he's so hot.
See, this is the problem with dating apps. You see a photo and you're like, swipe left, and then in
person.
That's
true.
Yeah. Although most people would pick a more flattering photo. I don't think Aaron would ever pick that photo of himself. It was not good.
That's probably true.
He's actually extremely handsome.
Aaron's very attractive in person. Yeah. So when I got to the beach, I was like, okay, well, I don't know most of these people. Because I entered in at that VIP party, which was interesting. But yeah, so I had seen Aaron there, Thomas there. Thomas, I had like, didn't notice him on the list either. He's extremely attractive also. yeah. And then who else? James. So he was in a box. So he didn't have a cast photo. So I didn't even know who he was.
Right.
That's right. That's
yeah. So
funny.
Those were the guys at the party that were like somewhat available. Everyone else, because it was halfway through when I got there, everyone else was already pretty coupled.
Right. So you sort of had like a limited set of options.
Right. I had a few options. Yeah.
So why did you ultimately arrive in Paradise and give your date card to Aaron? When you walked down from like what the interaction you'd had at the VIP party, where you're like, I'm probably going to give my date card to Aaron, or were you still sort of ready to feel things out?
No, I actually was thinking I was going to give it to James because they didn't really show any of our interactions at the party because there was just so much drama going on. But like, I spoke to James the most at the party. Like, I hung out with him almost the whole time. And he was so cool, like, so friendly, so good to chat to, like, genuinely interested in getting to know me. So then when I came down the next day at the beach, I wanted to talk to Aaron because I didn't talk to him at the party. So like, that was kind of my decision-making process because I was like, oh, I spoke to James a lot, so I want to have more time with Aaron. So that's why I asked Aaron on the date.
That's so interesting. So did you end up ever like pursuing James in any way or like trying to spend more time with him?
No, I mean, James and Aaron are besties, as we all know. So when I got back from my date with Aaron, it was kind of like we had a really great date. Like they didn't show much of it, but we had a really great time. And I felt like we had a connection genuinely. So it was kind of like, I wasn't really trying to be in a love triangle at that point.
Right.
Right.
Sometimes the love triangle chooses you.
Yeah. So I was kind of into Aaron after our one-on-one, and then I just stuck with that.
But then Damar arrived and Damar invited you on a date, and we really didn't see much of your interaction. I feel like they focused more on Natasha and Ed. What was that date like? Did you feel like you guys clicked? Were you interested, or were you coming away from that still very much like, all right, well, I'm focused on Aaron?
I wasn't dead set on Aaron at that point. Like, I was excited to see Damar come in, and I was excited that he asked me on the date. Like, I had briefly met Damar one time in New York, but like not really ever had a full conversation with him. But I just, like, from what I knew about him, I was like, oh, he always has like such great energy. Like, he's so fun to be around. Like, I know if we go on a date, it's definitely not going to be like awkward or uncomfortable or anything. So yeah, we had a great time. Like, we painted, we like had some deep combo, we had some champagne. Like, they didn't show any of it. And when we got back, there was a storm. And so we didn't get to hang out as much as I would have liked to. Like, I think if I had more time with Damar without the storm, then I might have been more like torn between him and Aaron. But I think I just had more time with Aaron, and then like that's where I was comfortable giving my rose at that point.
Oh, that's really interesting. I feel like because of there are just so many threads on Paradise, it's sometimes sort of hard to track the timeline, but that makes sense. Your flow with Damar was sort of just interrupted by a natural
Mother
disaster.
Nature.
Yeah. Mother Nature was like, no.
Literally.
No, Chelsea. At what point did your involvement ultimately end with Damar? Did you like ever have a conversation about it? Because it's like we saw you go on the date. We saw a little bit of you on the date. And then we basically like never saw you talk to Damar again.
Yeah. They were focused on, the drama with Ivan got in the way. So like, yes, I did speak to Damar again at that same cocktail party.
You didn't just like ghost him. You were like, goodbye. No, we will never speak again.
Come back from the storm. And I'm like, later. No. We did talk again, but it got overshadowed by the Ivan Aaron situation.
As you referenced, like, the big drama ended up being between Aaron and Ivan. So we have to talk about all of it. I mean, what we all saw is that Ivan approached you and said, I'd like to talk to you one-on-one. And you guys chatted and made out a little bit. And on Nick's podcast, Ivan essentially said that before he pulled you for the conversation, he had heard from several of your friends, including like Abigail, he referenced specifically, that you were interested in him, wanted to talk to him. And also that before he pulled you, he saw you at the bar with Damar and you had asked him, why haven't we ever talked one-on-one? So does that sound like familiar to you or is like something that could have gone down before he ended up grabbing you to talk?
To be completely honest, I do not remember. I do not remember exactly what was said. There was a lot going on that day, but it's not like completely off base. Like I knew Ivan before Paradise. Like, which is why when we sat down, I was like, yeah, we're homies. Because, and I wasn't like saying that to like I said, to like friend zone him immediately, but like I knew him and like I have hung out with him a couple times. So that's why I was like, yeah, I haven't talked to you. Like, I've never talked to you in a romantic way at all. And so that's why, again, when we sat down, I was like, so have you ever like had a single thought about me? Or are you just trying to get a rose? Like, I meant like, have you ever thought about me in a romantic way? Are you only talking to me today to try to get a rose? But I mean, I was open to all options that day. It was my first time like at a rose ceremony where I had the power and I had the rose. So I was like, yeah, I want to talk to everyone. Like, I talked to Damar, I talked to Aaron, I talked to Ivan, like I talked to everyone. So yeah, I was open to talking to him. Clearly, I was open to making out with him. Clearly,
right? Does it seem possible to you that your friends might have had reason to tell Ivan that you would be interested in exploring something?
I mean, yeah, they could have. I like I said, they knew I was open to talking to everyone.
Yeah.
Right. And they knew was like, Ivan was single.
Right. And they knew, yeah. And they knew Ivan was like, oh, big sad boy summer. Like, I'm going home today. yeah. So, like,
yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they definitely could have said that to him. And they, yeah. Like, I was joking around all day that day about being the bachelorette. Like, legit. I was like, I have the rose this week. I'm going to be the bachelorette. I want to talk to everyone. Like,
you were having literally your paradise experience.
Like,
this was your moment.
Right? I got there late and I was like, this is my moment. I have a rose. I'm going to talk to everyone today and apparently kiss everyone today. And that's what I did.
Yeah, make so, yeah, the most my
friends
of it.
My friends probably were like, Chelsea's down to talk to whoever today. Go talk to her.
Yeah, he's like, no, yeah. He did say, he was like, I had said to the whole group at the beginning of the cocktail party that, like, I thought there was really no one who was interested in me who was left and I was probably just going to go home. And so, yeah, they're like, oh, well, Chelsea's entertaining everyone. Like, just, right. You know, she's... She's entertaining all the possibilities, you know? Don't shut things down.
But, like, I still don't think that changes the fact regardless that, like, he told me straight up, like, I never told them that you pulled me. I said that I think, you know, that you had an interest. And then, like, run the clip back. And he literally, that's what he said to people. Like, that's what he straight up said to Aaron and everybody else.
So this is so interesting, Chelsea. Ivan was trying to clarify this on the Vile Files.
Okay.
And he was basically saying that there was like that a lot of this fight ended up centering on semantics almost. And that what he said was Chelsea wanted to talk to me. And that was then interpreted as Chelsea pulled me.
I literally don't know exactly what came out of his mouth, but I do know like when when I went to talk to him after I spoke to Aaron, he was like, no, I didn't say that. And then I was like, Ivan, literally everyone on this beach just told me that that's what you said. And he was like, no, I think that they just understood it as that because I said you had an interest in me. But that's not what he said. That's not what he said.
It's interesting to me that I do think that when you say to the group, Chelsea wanted to talk to me, that that is a stronger way of putting it than Chelsea had an interest. It is something that can easily be read right. As Chelsea asked to talk to me, whereas Chelsea had an interest to me is how he put it to you.
But the thing that he said
to you, he was not going to put it in those strong terms because you know that you didn't pull him.
Right. But what he said to Aaron was, what am I supposed to say when she asked to talk to me?
Yeah, he is definitely at minimum, he was framing things very strongly toward Chelsea initiated this.
Right. So that was the difference. He's like, what am I supposed to say when she asked to talk to me? And then Riley's like, he just said Chelsea asked to talk to him. And Aaron's right. Like, okay, well, then you say, yeah, right. Like, that just wasn't what happened.
Yeah. The conversation just very quickly drifted into
right.
Ivan kind of affirming the idea that you actively that sought him out.
Right.
Yeah.
And another thing that Ivan said during this podcast, because obviously we only, you know, saw clips of your conversation with Ivan before this drama started. And Ivan told Nick that during that conversation, you said to him, I really want to see what it's like to kiss you. And that's why he initiated a kiss. is that true?
I don't know, again, exactly what I said. I had a lot of glasses of champagne. You can see them in my hand in the clip. But I definitely said something along those lines. I'm not going to
Okay.
lie. I definitely mentioned something about kissing and then we kissed. Like, that's a fact. And like I said, I was on the Bachelorette mode that day. But Aaron, I did feel bad because like when I first was at the bar and Ivan asked to talk to me, Aaron wasn't there. Like he wasn't on the beach. So I was like, okay, cool. I had no plans of like talking to Ivan or kissing Ivan in front of Aaron. And I, again, wasn't there yet when the whole Tammy thing happened with Aaron. And so like, I didn't know he was completely traumatized by that whole thing. And I did feel bad about that because, like, I never would have purposely done that right in front of Aaron's face. Like, yeah. I did not do that on purpose.
Although, in the interest of being fair, Aaron did make out with Serena C right in front of Tammy. So, you know, it's paradise, baby. People are making out.
That's true. A lot of making out in front of each other. It's unintentional. Yeah. It's a small beach area.
Look, those day beds aren't that far from each other.
They really aren't.
And meanwhile, when Aaron then called Ivan down to the beach to fight, you seemed to be nowhere in sight. What were you doing at that point? Were you taping interviews or something?
I was. I was in an interview right after I spoke to Ivan. So I had no idea what was going down. And when I came back down, clearly everyone's like, oh, there's Chelsea. Chelsea, this is what happened. I'm like, what the hell is going on?
I feel like you guys are so careful. They're like, let's pull Aaron for interviews when we want Chelsea and Ivan to have a chance to talk. And now we need Ivan and Aaron to have a chance to fight. So we're going to pull Chelsea.
I feel like I was like, oh, poor Chelsea. She's like walking down, like all fresh faced and like, what a beautiful day in paradise where I'm the bachelorette. And suddenly everyone's like, men are coming to blows over you.
Yeah, I was not prepared for that at all.
What did everyone tell you once you got back to the beach? Like, how was this all relayed to you?
I mean, it was Marissa and Becca, I think, and Natasha were at the table. And they were like, girl. And I'm like, what? What? And they're like, Ivan and Aaron are fighting. Like, I didn't, they basically were like, they almost just got in a fist fight. And Natasha was like, yeah, I didn't realize that you asked Ivan to talk. And I was like, I didn't. And then that's where the whole thing, he said, she said, he said, the whole thing took off.
Oh my God.
But then I was like, well, where are they? Like, I want to talk to them after this fight. So then that's when I talked to Aaron and then to Ivan.
When you watched the fight back later on TV, was there anything about it that surprised you based on what you'd heard? Or was there anything that alarmed you seeing all the kind of physical threats and the intensity of it?
I mean, Aaron had pretty much given me a play-by-play. Like, he didn't hold anything back. He was like, I definitely came in hot. He was like, I was aggressive. He's like, I called him names. He was like, and he apologized for it to Ivan when he was there. Like, he was like, yeah, I came in a little hot. Like, I'm aggressive. Like, I didn't mean to do that. Sorry. So he told me, he's like, I called him this, I called him that, I called him this. So like, when I watched it back, it didn't surprise me. He told me all the names that he had used. Did anything else surprise me about that? No, I mean, that's pretty much how I thought it went down.
Yeah,
it
was, you had gotten the rundown.
Yeah, I had gotten the rundown by everyone on that beach about what happened.
Aaron was like, I did say I would snap Ivan like a twig, just FYI. You're going to see that.
It was quite funny to watch back. But like, in the end, like when I'm watching it, I was just kind of like, ugh, like, this is not attractive to me. Like, you think, I guess in theory, like, oh my God, two guys fighting over you. That's so fun and sexy. Like, it's not. It's not cute. It's not fun. Like, it was just like them basically measuring dick sizes. Like, I was like, nobody even cares about me. Like, nobody's fighting over me. They're just like fighting to fight. Like, it was just annoying.
Yeah. I mean, no, I think that was certainly how it came off for us, like as viewers watching it. It was just like, what the hell is going on? This is so, it really isn't cute. It really isn't attractive. And meanwhile, you have like Damar over there just quietly staying uninvolved.
I'm like, nobody even cared about me or what I was doing. And like, poor Damar's like, hey, I liked you.
Yeah, he went on clickbait and he was like, I was genuinely in paradise for Chelsea. Like, oh, I was like, oh, poor Damar. Have you guys chatted at all post-filming?
Yeah, I've talked to him. We're good. Okay. He forgives me for not giving him a rose.
He's got to understand, it's a crazy environment.
Yes, there was a lot going on. The storm, you know, it was a tough time for him to come in.
The five glasses of champagne, like, it's just, it's a lot. You know?
I didn't say that. You did.
We're going to take a quick break, but we'll be right back with more from Chelsea, including her thoughts on Ivan and Alexa's secret rendezvous, his dramatic exit, and of course, Aaron pursuing Tia during prom. Can you keep up? I like love it. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Lately, my social battery has actually been full to bursting. I feel like I've barely been able to see anyone all winter, especially with little kids at home. And constant daycare bugs. And I'm just like dying to get out there and see some people. And, you know, it's actually been kind of hard at times over the winter to feel like I'm just desperate to see friends and I don't have time to do it.
I feel like we're constantly trying to regulate, like, what's the correct amount of social energy? What kind of space do we need to carve out to actually give ourselves the space to socialize? What space do we need to carve out to give ourselves time to actually recharge? Either way, therapy can give you some self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery or store it up a little too much.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try.
It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp.
Visit betterhelp.com/lovetoseeit today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/lovetoseeit. Okay, so you got engaged. Congrats. Now you may be wondering what comes next.
If you're planning a wedding, the first thing you need to know about is Zola.
With Zola, you can plan your entire wedding in one convenient place. From the day you get engaged and search for the venue to the day you send out your save the dates, make your registry, and even taste your cake.
Zola has literally everything you need to make the whole process super easy and actually even enjoyable.
There's even a 5-star app that helps you plan on the go or, from your couch, which is certainly how, if I was planning a wedding, I would definitely want to do it as loungily as possible.
So important.
I also just know myself. I know that planning any kind of event, like even a birthday party, can get very stressful. And so it's been really cool to see friends use Zola. It really seems to make everything a lot less stressful. And as a frequent wedding attender, I love to be able to hop on that Zola registry and just purchase a gift. Easy peasy. I know I've done it. I won't forget. Thank you, Zola.
Yeah, everything's all in the same place. It's perfect. Start planning at Zola.com. That's Zola.com.
If you have a cat, you want your cat to be healthy and happy because, of course, that makes you happy.
But since, you know, people aren't mind readers, we don't always know when our cats are unwell.
So helping us keep tabs on our cat's health is just one reason you should use Pretty Litter.
Pretty Litter's ultra-absorbent crystals trap odor instantly. No more cat bathroom smell.
Pretty Litter's super light crystal base also minimizes mess and dust.
Here's the coolest thing about Pretty Litter. It actually changes color to help monitor early signs of potential illness in your cats, including urinary tract infections and kidney issues.
Plus, Pretty Litter ships free right to your door in a small, lightweight bag.
Our producer, Talon, has started using Pretty Litter for his cats, and he is a huge fan already. He's found that, like, the crystals really do soak up that odor, and cleaning the litter box is easier than it's ever been because it doesn't get all, like, weird and clumpy inside, which I remember so well from cleaning my cat's litter box.
Pretty Litter helps keep tabs on your cat's health and keep odors down.
You and your cat are going to love Pretty Litter as much as we do.
Go to prettylitter.com/LTSI and use code LTSI to save 20% on your first order.
That's prettylitter.com/LTSI, code LTSI to save 20%.
prettylitter.com/LTSI, code LTSI.
Terms and conditions apply. See site for details. Are you one of those people who thinks they don't have time to prioritize wellness? Yeah, guilty.
Well, Claire, Allo Moves is here to change that whole mindset for you.
The app makes it so easy to keep your wellness routine on track because they have everything in one place. There's yoga, Pilates, fitness classes, there's mindfulness and self-care tips, even healthy recipes, and so much more.
It's kind of wild how far-reaching Allo Moves goes. And their classes range from 5 minutes to an hour. It really just depends on what you have time for that day.
Trying to get in a good sweat? Then you've got to try their award-winning workouts like sweat-inducing yoga flows, HIIT classes, or reformer Pilates workouts with or without weights.
Or you can find stress relief with things like meditations, affirmations, or face yoga.
It's so hard to prioritize wellness when you have a busy job or kids or both. And now that I have both, it's so important to me to be able to squeeze in a workout when I have that random 5 minutes to an hour in between tapings after bedtime. It makes such a big difference how flexible it is and how easy it is to get what you need from the app.
Unlock your personal wellness routine with Allo Moves.
Go to allomoves.com now and use code LTSI20 for an exclusive 30-day free trial and enjoy 20% off an annual membership.
That's allomoves.com, code LTSI20.
allomoves.com, code LTSI20.
Let me set the scene. Imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at actually unbeatable prices.
I love it.
Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach.
Like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, and timeless 14-karat gold jewelry.
The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. We truly love to see it.
By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us.
And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes.
I love Quince, and I actually have a couple recent Quince purchases that I'm really excited about. I just ordered the Glow Boho hoops to have like kind of a chunkier version of my usual gold hoops to wear, like maybe on a date night or something. And they are beautiful. They're everything I dreamed of.
Indulge in affordable luxury.
Go to quince.com/LTSI for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns.
That's quince.com/LTSI to get free shipping and 365-day returns.
quince.com/LTSI. And we're back. So after this all kind of died down and it's time for the rose ceremony, there's another Ivan bomb that drops that he had snuck out of his room to meet up with Alexa. Were you surprised by this? Did any of you have like any inkling, aside from Noah, I guess, that that Ivan had been like up to shenanigans?
No, I think it's funny the way that they ended the episode. It made it seem like Ivan and I had done something in the hotel room. And everyone was asking me, like, what happened in the hotel, Chelsea? And I'm like, I still don't know the answer to that.
You're like, I was asleep? Like,
I do not know. I had nothing to do with it.
Yeah, please exclude me from this narrative.
Right. So when we were at the rose ceremony and Wells pulled Ivan, all of us were genuinely confused. Like, I was like, I have no idea what he possibly could have done. We were at the hotel for a day. Like, I don't know what could have gone down, but like, let's see, I guess. But Ivan had made it clear, like, to several people on the beach before I got there that he was excited to see Alexa. Like, he was like, Alexa's the girl I wanted to see here in paradise. So then when he came back up and told us that, it wasn't super shocking to me. I was like, oh, I mean, the one thing I was wondering was like, how did he find her hotel room? But other than that, I was like, oh, okay. I mean,
yeah.
All right. Okay. Yeah. But like, I think, like I said, in one of my interviews, I think, like, I don't think Ivan came down to the beach that day looking to go after me to cause a fight and to like try to get my rose to stay for Alexa. I think that he just saw an opportunity come up and he was like, okay, maybe I could get Chelsea's rose and stay here for Alexa tomorrow. Like,
right.
It wasn't premeditated. Yeah, it wasn't premeditated because he did come down and was like, yeah, I think I'm gonna go home. Like, I'm going home with this rose ceremony. And then the whole thing with me happened that wasn't planned on either one of our parts. And then he probably was just like, okay, well, maybe I could get this rose. And then, I mean, I think he was planning to keep the Alexa thing under wraps. Like, if Wells hadn't called him out, I don't think he would have ever brought it up.
Yeah.
Yeah. So do I think when Ivan was like, oh my God, if I, you know, if you gave me a rose, I wasn't going to accept it, that was true? Absolutely not. I think he would have taken it. I think he would have dropped me like a hot potato for Alexa if she came in the next day. But I don't necessarily think Aaron's any better because he took my rose and dropped me like a hot potato too.
Oh man. That's obviously we are so going true. To talk all about that. And I am interested that you think Ivan would have kept the rose, because that's another thing that Ivan said on Nick's podcast. He was like, I had already decided to go home. And I had said goodbye to all the men before the rose ceremony. But yeah, I did appreciate it.
Until you're standing there and someone's right. Like, will you accept this rose? Like, I think he would have said yes. That's my personal opinion.
Yeah.
I love if it. I had.
It's easy to say you wouldn't accept it when you've never been
totally.
Given the opportunity.
Right.
But, you know, the next day after you gave your rose to Aaron, did you feel like you were a thing at this point? Like, did you talk before prom? Did you like talk at all about, you know, how settled your relationship was?
So before the love triangle, whatever, Ivan, all that happened, before that, I didn't really ever feel like Aaron and I were like a thing. Like, we were never as strong as the other strong couples. Like, yeah, he was the only one I had interest in, and I was the only one he had interest in at the time. And we had a really great date that we both liked. But, like, it wasn't like we were making out all day or all over each other or whatever. Like, it was very chill, which is why I didn't feel like it was an issue to explore my options that day and, like, make out with Ivan. Like, because we weren't, like, officially anything, right? So then after that cocktail party, after all that drama went down, after like I told him, like listened to his side of the story and like comforted him and stuck up for him and told him, like, and went up to tell Ivan, like, this isn't what happened and all this stuff, gave him my rose. I felt like we turned a corner after that rose ceremony. Like it was like, okay, now we're like kind of more of a thing. And like before prom, we were like getting dressed and he's like, oh, this is what I'm wearing if you want to match me tonight. Like we were kissing and I was just like, okay, this is like different than it was before a little bit. And so then we get to prom and we're like slow dancing. Like everyone's in a couple besides Tia. Like you saw that at the beginning of the episode when she was just like off by herself. Like I was with Aaron at this point. And then as it happened, and like, I don't think I've ever said this about anything on this show, but like, as you saw it happen at the prom, that is exactly how it happened. Like really? out of nowhere. And I'm literally standing next to Tia when it happens. Like I'm dancing with Tia because I'm like, oh, poor Tia. She's all sad and alone.
Oh my God.
I'm dancing with Tia and he pulls her to chat. And I was just like, what is happening? Like it just really caught me off guard.
So he hadn't given you like any indication that nothing. He was interested in Tia.
No, we were slow dancing like 10 minutes before this.
And then he ended up like giving Tia like a corsage. Like where was he yes. keeping a corsage? Like the whole time that he was like with you at prom. I'm so confused.
Just holding on to it. No. Yeah, it was just out of nowhere to me. And then they had their whole little high school makeout sesh, whatever you want to call it. And then they come back in and I was just like, what is happening? yeah. And like, I would have even accepted a conversation right when he came back in. Like if he had immediately come and talked to me, I would have been like, okay, but he didn't speak to me. So I was just like, okay, I guess we're done. And I didn't even get told that we were done, but what? Okay.
Did he ever talk to you about it?
I ended up like towards the end of the night going up and talking to him, but they didn't show it. But yeah, I think a lot of people have been calling me a hypocrite because they're like, dude, you just made out with Ivan right in front of him. Like him making out with Tia is the exact same thing. At least he didn't do it right in front of your face. And my,
what?
My issue. Yeah. Yes. A lot of people have said that to me, but my issue is with the conversation. Like I wasn't mad that he made out with Tia. I really wasn't. Cause I was like, how could I be mad? I just made out with Ivan. Like,
right.
It's paradise. We all make out. Like, it's fine. But I just felt like, and Aaron's always like, he's always saying like, oh, I'm such a straight up person. Like, if I'm feeling some type of way, like, I always will come to you. I'll always tell you. I'll always be honest with you. So he'd been telling that to me for like a while. So I'm like, okay, Aaron's a straight up person. Like, if there's ever an issue, he's going to tell me. So that's why it caught me so off guard. Cause I was just like, oh, he didn't even tell me. Like if he had just told me like, hey, you and I are like, you know, I don't know, up in the air still. Like, I kind of want to see what's up with Tia. I would have been like, oh, okay. Like, I appreciate you telling me. I would not have been happy about it because like, I did like him, but I at least would have like had a heads up. Like that was my thing.
Right. You would have felt respected like, and right. acknowledged.
That was a respect thing for me. Totally. Because I was just like, I felt disrespected in that moment because I was like, other people know what's going on and you didn't even tell me and I'm supposed to be like the one that you're like talking to. So it was just like a disrespect thing for me totally.
Right. It feels almost similar to what we saw happen with Jesenia and Chris, which is another situation that like could have been softened by a pointed conversation. And we just right. see these men like kind of try to like avoid that, but you're all trapped in one small room. So right.
yeah, if he had just given me like a heads up, like not heads up, I'm going to make out with Tia, but like clearly he chose to pursue Tia. And so he knew that beforehand and he could have given me a heads up. I didn't choose to pursue Ivan. Like Ivan pulled me and I couldn't have given Aaron a heads up. Like, hey, Ivan's about to pull me in chat and I'm going to make out with him. Like I didn't go out of my way to like plan something for Ivan, sit down with him and then not tell Aaron. If I had done that, if I was like, you know what, I really want to go after Ivan and I'm going to make a plan and give him a boutonniere, then I would have told Aaron first. Like, yeah. So that was my only thing.
It's very bizarre to, like, essentially be someone's date for an event and then to just not talk to them for half of it and instead right. make out with someone else. Like, yeah, like, it's paradise, but you can still be a human and have a certain level of communication and respect.
Right. I mean, and that's all I wanted.
When you talked to Aaron about it, like, do you remember how that went? Like, what did he have to say for himself?
He apologized and said, like, he didn't mean to be disrespectful because, you know, Aaron's all about, like, respect. Give me some respect. So when I told him I felt disrespected, he said, sorry, he didn't mean to do that. But he basically was just like, you know, we aren't locked in anything. You just kissed Ivan. And I was like, okay, well, now it sounds like you did this for revenge. Like I said, I felt like, and maybe he didn't feel like after the rose ceremony that we turned a corner, but like it felt a little bit different to me after that, after I had given him my rose. Maybe to him it didn't, but to me it did. So that's why I was just like, okay, I thought at least, even as a friend, like as a friend that you have respect for, I thought at least you would tell me. But yeah.
So that makes a lot of sense. And did you ever have a conversation with Tia once Aaron started pursuing her?
Not really. I didn't really have an issue with Tia because I was just like, well, what's she gonna do? Like he yes, she kissed him back, just like, yes, I kissed Ivan back, but like he pursued her and she didn't see it coming. Like she kind of was just like, I didn't see this coming. It came out of nowhere.
Yeah, she did seem genuinely confused when he pulled her.
Yeah, she wasn't expecting it either. So yeah, I didn't really have an issue with Tia. Yeah. But after prom, I was kind of like, well, that corsage might as well have been a rose because I'm going home.
Yeah, that was brutal. And you had like just really strongly taken Aaron's side too, the night of the rose ceremony and like stuck up for him. And yeah, there did. I mean, listen, I've never spoken to Aaron. I didn't really love a lot of how he handled himself on the show, but it's interesting to me that he always like he has the conflict with the other guy, and then later the woman is just tossed like dropped.
Right,
he's like, anyway, now that that's over, goodbye forever, we're not going to talk about it.
Aaron is an emotional guy. He really is. Like he is.
Yeah.
And he knows that. And yeah, he just has to hone those in. But yeah, he's not a bad person at all. I think Aaron's cool. Like we've since talked, like we are good. I have no bad blood with anyone. I don't have bad blood with Ivan. I've talked to him. We've hugged it out. Like we're all good.
That's good.
Yeah.
Just leave all that shit on the beach.
Yeah. Like in the end, it's been months now. Like it doesn't matter. None of us are going to get married. Like I'm not going to marry Aaron. I'm not going to marry Ivan. It's
like, well, never say never, you know?
No, it's like at the end of the day, it really doesn't matter. I think some emotions got brought up when they were both watching it back. But to me, that's all water under the bridge.
Right. We want to change tacks a little bit now and talk about some, you know, of the final kind of love stories that we saw, because a lot of them involved your friends. And specifically, I want to talk about first the breakup between Noah and Abigail before we get to the, you know, ultimate happy ending. Because I think Claire and I always love to see moments of friendship on the show. And so often there's just like so much going on that we don't really get a taste of that. Yeah. But we did see a really, you know, sad but sweet friendship moment between you and Abigail when Noah and Abby broke up. Because I think you were one of the first people that she approached to talk to right after. And like, what was that moment like for you? Because you seemed genuinely shocked when she told you.
I was. She hadn't been around for most of the prom. And obviously I was dealing with my own drama. So she came up to me and I'm like, oh my God, hey, are you okay? Like I hadn't seen her for an hour. And she was like, Noah and I are leaving. And I was like, what? Like literally the last thing I heard the day before was Noah had said, oh, I told Abigail I was falling in love with her. Like she didn't really respond. And I had obviously talked to Abby because Abby and I are like real life friends. Like I hang out with her every weekend in New York. It's not just like a paradise friendship. Like that's my friend. So, and I'm friends with Noah too. And so when she told me that, I was just like, right now, like what is happening? You saw my genuine shock. I was not expecting it. I didn't know what had been happening when they spoke at prom. I knew they needed to talk. But like from what I heard from Abby, like she was really into Noah and she's just like not the best at expressing her feelings, but she had said like, oh yeah, I think I'm falling in love with him too. Like, I think I'm going to tell him. So I thought like, they're going to have a conversation tonight. She's going to say it back. They're going to be all happy. And then she comes in and she's like, we're both leaving right now.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So I was really sad because I felt like, oh my God, like my best friend here is leaving. And she's leaving heartbroken, like, because I knew how much she cared about Noah. Yeah, but I thought both of them were just scared. Like, I really think both of them were just afraid to, like, fall in love with each other and to admit how they were feeling. So they both just kind of, like, backed away and messed it up.
Yeah.
Now I mean, it's not messed up. But
yeah, thankfully. They're so cute together.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it's a really high pressure situation. Like everyone's getting encouraged to get engaged or break up. And there have been rumors that Noah was sort of pressured by production to end things with Abigail if they weren't going to get engaged at the end of the show. And I'm curious if like, if you think there's any truth to those rumors.
I did not hear that, but I would not be surprised to hear that. That's all I'm going to say.
That is a good and diplomatic answer, Chelsea.
Yeah.
Can you give us any insight into Abby and Noah's relationship now? Because they seem very cute and happy together per Instagram.
Yes, they are very cute and happy together. Yeah, I've hung out with them like in a group setting since Paradise. And obviously I've only known Abby since we met on Matt's season, but like, this is definitely the happiest I've ever seen her. Like she's so smitten. They're adorable.
That's so lovely.
Noah treats her like a queen, like she deserves. And I've told him he better, or I'm coming after him. but yeah, no, they're really, really cute. Like she was just there with him. I think she's like in Oregon now with her family, but she was just with him for a good while for the finale and stuff, but they're very cute and very in love and happy.
Oh, I love that.
And yeah.
We also had a number of couples leave engaged. Joe and Serena, Mari and Kenny, Riley and Marissa. Are you close with any of the other couples? Have you gotten to continue to see their love in person?
Oh yeah, I actually went to Toronto last weekend or 2 weekends ago. And so I got to see Joe and Serena. But yeah, I'm closest with Serena and Abby. And then Mari, yes, we're friends from my season two, but I haven't really hung out with her too much post show just because she doesn't live near here, but right. I love Mari and Kenny. I didn't really get to know Kenny as well because by the time I got there, like they were very coupled, and like when everyone was really coupled, like they would just hang out by themselves and make out all day, and like I love that for them. But like I wasn't in a couple, so I kind of just hung out with Noah. I literally almost combined their names. Abigail. I just hung out with Abigail because like that was my comfort zone. Cause like, obviously I'm very close with Abby and like love Noah. So I would just kind of third wheel it with them all the time. But yeah, Serena and Joe, adorable. I got to see her ring and I got to, say hi to Joe. I love him too. And then Marissa and Riley, like, well, Marissa, I think, just moved here to New York.
Yeah, I heard that she was moving.
Yeah, so she reached out to me. So I'm like, oh my God, I definitely want to hang out with her. And like, I did get to know Marissa in Paradise. She's amazing. But again, I didn't get to know, like, that's the one thing about getting there in the beginning. Like, I kind of wish I'd gotten there with the original cast just because they were all so close and bonded already. Like, they were friends first and before everyone started coupling off. And then right. by the time I got there, it was like nobody was really trying to make friends. It was just like, okay, we're
they were
in serious
so deep into it. Yeah.
Right.
So I mean, I always think about that watching Paradise. Like it seems really just like socially difficult to come in the middle.
Yeah. So I didn't get to like hang with the girls as much as I would have liked to, but I did like Marissa, and I definitely, now that she's in New York, want to hang out with her. But I'm very happy for her and Riley, and I'm very happy to finally see a Black couple love story
yes.
from the Bachelor
yes.
franchise.
Oh my gosh.
It only finally. Took so overdue.
It took forever. Yeah. But yes. So very happy for them.
Yeah, and they're so sweet together. I loved watching them fall in love. And
yeah, they're really cute. Oh,
I was listening to Dr. Joe also on a podcast recently, and he was also saying like the couples were just so into each other. He was like, can they just go somewhere else
yeah.
and hang out? And then the single people can hang out here and not have to think about how we wish we were making out with someone 24/7.
Right. Like that's kind of like the same boat I was in, because like for Dr. Joe and Damar and Ed, they all came in at a tough spot too. Like the week after I came in. So yeah, it was kind of like us. And then like when Anna and McKenna came in, but like everybody else was just completely coupled.
Oh, it's rough.
Oh my yeah. God. So rough. So now that Paradise is over, mm-hmm. how's your dating life going now?
So far it's non-existent, just because I wasn't able to date like publicly until the finale. So it's only been like a week.
Okay, fair enough. Fair point.
Yes, I did get on Raya, so we'll see how that goes.
Ooh.
Yeah, but other than that, I don't know. I think I need to like hang out with my couple friends and their boyfriends and see if their boyfriends have friends. Like
that's always a good way to get a setup. You're like, I know that you at least have like a trusted connection to me.
I know, but now human. All of my friends' boyfriends were on The Bachelor, so their friends are Bachelor guys. It's the same guys that were in Paradise.
Oh, that's true. You're like, God, you're like, damn, I've already met all of these people and right. like made out with half of them. And it's just, we're not going to get married. Let's move on.
Yeah, I need to hang out with like Brie and her boyfriend, since he's like not part of Bachelor Nation, or like somebody
Wise.
Else, my other friends, and get some of their guy friends.
Yeah.
Because I don't know how else you meet men in this city. If you
Look,
guys have any
rough.
Tips, let me know.
It's I have no tips because I was very bad at it.
Me too.
yeah, it's tough. And I didn't really want to like get back on like yes, I got on Raya, but I don't want to be on like Tinder and Hinge. Like, I don't know. It feels weird. So I guess I'm going to have to meet people the old-fashioned way at a bar or something. I don't know.
I did. I met my husband at a party through friends. So
oh, there you go.
There
I
you
guess
go.
I need to go to more parties.
Yeah. It's a tough time to be trying to meet people at holiday parties, which is where
right.
where I met him.
Yeah. Well, look, I met my boyfriend. I met my boyfriend 7 years prior in an airport. And then
what?
Didn't date. Yes, because we had a mutual friend and he was talking. It was his 2012. So he was talking on OkCupid at the time to another friend of mine. And then 7 years later, we like re-met.
Wait,
and started dating.
You met him randomly at the airport?
Yes, because he went to college with a friend of mine that I was like with at the airport. It was San Juan. We were flying back to New York. And like,
okay.
So was he. And at the time, he was talking to another friend of ours. So my friend was like, ah, that's the Stanford guy that's like talking to Kate on OkCupid. And then, yeah, 7 years later, we were like, oh, let's have a one-on-one conversation. So you never
wow.
know. You never know what random person you saw in passing will like come back around 10 years later.
Interesting. Yeah, I could have already met my husband in 2012. Who knows?
As a strategy, I don't recommend it. But, you know,
And next up in Bachelor Nation, Michelle's season of The Bachelorette
yes.
is about to premiere. Will you be watching?
Absolutely. I have to support my girl, Michelle. I'm so happy for her. I'm so excited to see her guys. I looked at their terrible cast photos too.
Oh, so did we.
Some hotties in there.
Yes, for sure.
But all that matters is that she found someone that she's happy. So I hope that for her, but I can't wait to watch it all and support her. I will be screaming from the rooftops and posting about her as much as I can every Monday night.
Oh, we're so excited.
Yeah, I'm really excited for her. One.
And I will say a lot of her guys are hotter on Instagram. So if you're looking to do some digging, get some better eye candy. It's out there.
I also heard that they're quite tall because Michelle is like maybe only an inch or two shorter than I am. So she's like 5'10 or 5'11. So they casted really tall guys for her. So I'm like, ooh.
Yeah, I saw that at least one of them was like 6'8". So I think they're it's like a whole crop, just like her rejects will just be perfect for you. And I saw a few of them live in New York, so I don't know.
Fingers crossed. A closer look.
Go stalk those Instagrams. I hope they all slide in your DMs, you know, at an appropriate time after they're kicked off Michelle's season.
You know what? Nobody ever slides into my DMs. Like, you would think people do, but like, they don't.
Oh my God. Okay. Well, this is a public call for tall, handsome men to, preferably in the New York City area, slide into Chelsea's DMs.
Yes, the DMs are officially open.
Don't be creepy, but just like slide on in there. In a very gentleman-like way.
Yeah. Slide respectfully.
Slide respectfully. But like also with some like flair. Like I like a little creativity. I like a little joke. Like I like a little wit.
Humor's good. None of just like, hey, Chelsea,
how was your day?
How are you? No one wants that. Be original.
I want something unique. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we love that for you. And we hope that... maybe you'll come back on the pod to talk about Michelle's season once you can talk about a show that you are not on, which is kind of fun in its own way.
Yes, it is fun to watch when you're not on it.
More fun even.
Yes.
Chelsea, thank you so much for joining us today. It's been so fun to hear all about your time on Paradise, and we wish you the best in your non-Paradise endeavors.
Thank you, guys. Thank you so much for having me. It was nice to be back.
And that's it for this bonus episode of Love to See It with Emma and Claire.
Love to See It is produced by us, Claire Fallon and Emma Gray, and Stitcher. This episode was edited by Tamika Weatherspoon. Our theme music is by Tamar Haviv, and our art is by Celine Chang. Josephine Martirana is our executive producer.
If you like the show, please rate us 5 stars and leave a review. And most importantly, tell all of your friends, including the ones who used to listen to us as Here to Make Friends. Help us get the word out about our new name.
If you want to get in touch, you can email us at clareandemmapod@gmail.com with your questions and voice memos. We might even feature you in an upcoming mailbag.
You can also find us on Twitter at @LoveToSeeItPod and Instagram at @ClareandEmmaPod. You can also find us on Substack at clareandemma.substack.com. I'm on Twitter and Instagram at @EmmaLadyRose.
And I'm at Claire E. Fallon.
We'll be back next week for Michelle's premiere.
Stitcher.